Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope you all had a beautiful Christmas. I had a very nice Christmas. We spent the day with the family and got to see the grandkids running around, and makes you realize my grandmother always said Christmas is for the children, and you know, the Christmases that we celebrate in the way we do are definitely for kids, but Christmas is for each and every one of us to understand and know the gift of life given through Christ Jesus. Our sermon text for this first Sunday of Christmas will be taken from 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read from chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach so that you believe. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word. And we praise and we thank you for this word. May we hear it. May we have ears to hear. May you give your spirit that we could be sanctified in the truth. Because, Father, there is no truth outside of your word. We ask that you would continue to sanctify us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. When I was driving here this morning, my wife and I, well, I was probably having more of a discussion than she was. She was in her mode of listening to me, as she so greatly does. And sometimes when I get in a thought process, I have a tendency to just kind of ramble. And she's, after 30 years of marriage, has got it figured out. She just kind of listens. And then sometimes, you know, as being a human being that I am, I didn't do it today, but I'm like, in my standard procedure, you're not listening to me. Wow. You know, I mean, when you talk to her like an auctioneer, she's not going to have a chance to respond. But one of the things that I brought to the conversation, at least my one-sided conversation, was what to believe. In the day and age we live in, we don't know what truth is. Now, you might think that you know the truth because you watch certain things that tell you certain things. And you have a tendency to believe in that. But all I'm going to say is, if you're only listening to one side of the story in any part of life, you're only getting one side of the story. It brought me to the point of where Pilate stood before Jesus, and he asked the question, what is truth? And that question is just as valid today as it ever was. That the times we live in, and we always have a tendency, because we're living through the times, to think our time is the most unique time. Well, it may be for us because we're experiencing it. But every time in history has been unique to somebody, and it has had challenges and it's had successes. And there's no doubt about it that we are living in a unique time. I've never been one, in fact, to get much into end times theology. I'm not much into eschatology as far as that goes. I do realize one thing, that no matter what, we win in Christ. But even the time that I'm living through, I wonder, is it just me? because I'm getting older, so now maybe I'm listening a little more to what's going on? Or is it actually a unique time? And I'm going to leave that for you to figure out on your own too. But the one thing that we do know, when Pilate asks the question, what is truth? We have to come back to the main point, no matter what, as a believer. The only truth is God. His word is truth. The work he has done upon that cross is truth for each and every one of us. The salvation that he pours out in our behalf upon that cross is truth, that we cannot be saved without it. But then there is truth, who can be saved by it? Everyone who believes. It's open for everyone. And this brings a surety to each and every one of us as we actually absorb it, to understand that no matter what is taking place in my personal life, that God has me. Corinth was going through an interesting time. There was a lot of dialogue going on. Corinth was not exactly a holier-than-thou kind of city. They had a lot of struggles, a lot of issues. There was a lot of false gods. There was a lot of false worship. There was also the understanding of Judaism within this community also. There was a lot of different things that kind of melted here, all came in. It seems that someone had asked Paul to answer some questions that were going on. But we can remember that Paul, he is the one that actually went to Corinth, and he actually preached there, and it says that he preached there for about 18 months. He encouraged them. And so it would make sense that they would go back. They would go back to the authority that they had received. They'd go back to the one that shared the gospel and ask the questions. It's no different for us. When we're faced with circumstances, we're faced with parts of our life that we don't quite understand, where should we go? We should go back to the authority, the author and finisher of our faith. We should go back to the authority, the one who has created everything out of nothing. We go back to God the Father. Paul turns in the middle of his writing here, and he starts getting into this point of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's really what he's trying to bring out here. And he's trying to encourage them, go back to your roots. Go back to those first points of faith where when I preached to you, you received them so well. Go back to that. Stop listening to the rhetoric. So Paul opens in this way in our text. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, I would remind you, and I'm bringing to your attention, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and which you actually partook of or you understood. He says, go back to that. Isn't it kind of funny whenever we're trying to get something down in our life, if we're, I don't know, it's like if we're doing something maybe mechanical and we're trying to get it all worked out and then we find ourselves all flustered. Sometimes we have to stop. We have to go back to the beginning, and we have to start over, and then we get the process. We see where we made a mistake. We see where we erred. We see something. It doesn't always work. Because sometimes when you have outside influences, they can kind of cause you to make errors. And I don't know if my daughter remembers this, but many years ago, my wife went to Florida. And she went to Florida, and she was taking care of her mom and dad down there, and I decided that the kids were actually asked for banagaku. They wanted banagaku. Well, who can't make banagaku? My wife made it every day. So I got her recipe book out, and I found the recipe for banagaku, and I was going through it, and I was trying to keep track of four little kids and this and that, and next thing you know, I get the banagaku done, and it was runnier than ever. What the world? Well, then I figured it out. I didn't have any flour cups. I didn't put any flour in the thing. Well, I threw that one out. When kids still wanted banagaku, I went to go make it again. And I go make the whole thing, and it tasted awful. I didn't put any sugar in it. And see, the point is you had to go back to where you started and realize, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. But we go back and we learn. By the third one, I think I had it down pat. By then, the kids probably didn't want to eat it. But that's how oftentimes our life goes. We start hearing the chaos around us. We start hearing what's going on around us, and we become so consumed with it that we lose track of what we're doing. It's no different in spiritual areas. We can become so consumed with what's going on around us. And I'm not saying it's not important to understand. It was important for me to watch my children. There's no doubt about it. I didn't want them playing with fire just because I was making banogaku. But we also have to focus on what we are doing. And when we lose our way in the recipe, we need to go back to the beginning. And after the third try, you might get it. Paul is saying, guys, you've gotten carried away. I'm encouraging you, I'm reminding you, I'm actually telling you to go back. Go back to the beginning, he says. As you know that I preached to you, he says, and received this word which I preached. And we can find this, very interestingly enough, in Acts 18. Acts 18, it says, after Paul left Athens, he went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila and a native of Pontus. Recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And it goes through the whole thing, that they were tent makers, and he worked with them and together. And it says that he went all the time, and he preached the word to the people that were there. And it actually comes out and says that the Jews actually rejected what he was preaching. So he turns around, he makes a statement. You know what? I've told you the truth. If you don't want to listen, if you don't find it in your heart to receive this, then it's on you. He said, but I'm going to keep preaching. And if I have to go to the Gentiles to preach, that's where I'm going. Because this word is that important. And so then it says that he preached to them. And it says, many in Corinth, hearing Paul's words, believed, and they were baptized. And then the Lord turned around and he told him, he spoke to him. He says, Paul, don't be afraid. Continue to preach this word. Just go out there and preach this word, because I have a purpose. I have reason. So Paul did this. And he stayed there for 18 months preaching this word. So he's going back and he says, don't you remember when I was with you? Not everybody received our message. Not everybody was a partaker. But it didn't stop us from doing our job, because we were preaching Christ Jesus. And he even tells you in other parts, he says, it wasn't I. It wasn't me doing this work. It was God in me. It was his grace that was motivating me. It was his grace that gave me the ability. It was unmerited favor that allowed this word to go forth. Is it any different for you? Do you not have the ability through God to share his word? Or is it just up to a bappi? When we find ourselves getting kind of curtailed, and we find ourselves going off the track, is justified as we may feel about it, because we have a good intention. Is it not also God to call us back to what is important? The simplicity. The simplicity of his word, to bring this word to people that they may have a hope in spite of what may be going on in their lives. He says very plainly, he says, and this word that you have received, he says, you stand. He says, you stand in the power of that word. He says, by which you are actually, and he uses this as an active. He says, you're being saved. This is a continuous thing. That you are always in the state of grace with God through the power of his word, through the power of his sacrifice. He says, you are being saved. And then he comes to this qualifier, which I think is so interesting, because we don't want to hear about it. He says, if you hold fast to the word of truth, which I preached. In other words, by faith. It is through grace by faith that we are partakers of this. And Paul says, what are you listening to? What's taking this from you? I'd ask that question today for all of us. And maybe nothing is, and praise God for that. Continue on that path. He says, but now, he says, now you, if you hold on to this word which I preached to you, and then he comes out and he says, unless you did it with an empty faith. He says, unless you turned around and you did it with this empty faith, vain. He said, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. He said, the message did not change. The message never changes. That this is the importance of this. He says, I delivered to you exactly what redeemed me, is what Paul is sharing to us. On the road to Damascus as he met his Savior. He says very plainly, I didn't change the message. I'm adding that in there, but you can see it. I didn't, you know, filter it my way. I didn't offer you something different. He says, I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died. He died for our sin. He didn't die in vain. He died for our sins in accordance to what everything the Scripture says, that your price has been paid, that the ransom has been paid, that he was buried, to understand that he fully had died, that it was not just some sort of trick that he was buried, but also that death did not hold him there, that he was raised in the third day, understanding that he was fully dead, completely dead, as the Jews would understand of the time. Accordance with the Scriptures. The Scriptures have spoken about this. Kind of interesting, isn't it? That Paul is now sharing this message. Paul was actually a very powerful Israelite. There's no doubt about it. In Judaism, he was, you know, second to none. He understood the law. He even says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I was blameless in the law. But yet he counted it as nothing compared to Christ Jesus. But what I'm saying is he was not a fool. He knew the word. He knew the Old Testament inside and out, as we would call it, and he understood it. He says, but yet, this was revealed to him on the road to Damascus, wasn't it? When Jesus had to turn around and ask him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he asks the question, doesn't he? Who are you? He knew religion. And he knew the religion of the day. But did he have a relationship with his God? Did he know him personally? And he even will tell you at the end of this text, I'm the least of the apostles because I was out there persecuting. I was out there trying to stop this. He says, but he was raised and buried and raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures and has appeared to Cephas, Peter. And he appeared to the other 12. Then he also appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time. In other words, that there is this witness of Christ's resurrection. That there were those that sat and ate with him. Those that sat and visited with him. Those that touched him. We see the accounts in the Scripture. And really what Paul is trying to say to the church in Corinth, you know, what has happened? What has happened that you've lost your way? What has happened that you forgot? This is what it is. You forgot the word that you have received. Others have influenced you. Others have influenced you. And he turns and he says, very straightforward, he says, now, he says, after appearing to all these, he also appeared to James and also the other apostles. And then he comes very, very pointedly to this point. He says, and last of all, you can hear the humility. He says, as to one in an untimely birth. In other words, you know, we can turn this around as premature birth. We could, you know, as far as the days that we live in. He says, but really, he says, the one that comes to an untimely birth, he appeared to me. Where do we find that? Acts chapter 9. He turns and he comes to Saul, who later will be called Paul. Paul, he believed he was doing the right thing. He believed that he was doing the right thing when he went out and persecuted the churches. Even when he was on the road to Damascus, he had a letter in his hand that would allow him to take and put anybody in jail for following the Christian way, as we would call it. And I'm telling you, people were afraid of him. And we often are, aren't we? When someone we feel has the ability given to them by someone else to come in and invade our space, it says that he dragged them out of houses. Read it for yourself. But what changed them? God did. Christ Jesus. Yeah, we're living in some weird times. We're living in some very interesting times, and if God so long allows this earth to keep spinning, we'll see more and more interesting times. It's like, sometimes I feel like I'm trying to preserve something that the scripture says is not going to continue forever. But God will take care of us. He's taken care of us this far, and he's going to continue to take care of us. And that's something that we need to bring to this world. Yes, maybe we have moments where things aren't just so rosy. Maybe even if we were to talk about, you know, to tell you the honest truth, like my Christmas message, it wasn't really joyful and wonderful. But boy, it has hope. We can't stick our head in the sand and pretend things aren't going on around us. We can't sit in our, you know, little dream world and pretend that nothing is happening. We're living in some very interesting times. Some may say dark, but it's also opportunity for light. Paul, when he was Saul, thought he was doing the right thing. He was convinced, if you could say it in his heart, that he was doing something for God. And there wasn't any human beings that could turn around and straighten him out. But Jesus could. And the thing that I admire about Saul or Paul is that he had such a fire that when he believed something, he was willing to go for it. And he was willing to do it. Not saying he was right in all of his circumstances. He even acknowledges that. But when you have someone that's that powerful, God can use them very powerfully for his kingdom. And that's what we see with Paul. When Christ meets him on the road to Damascus, when he is, if I could say it in a very normal term, introduced to Christ Jesus, he is changed. But his fire and his passion has not changed at all as far as intensity. It's been changed in faith and in the message. And he is a force to be reckoned with, where God actually will take him and use him to go to the highest part of the government to preach the gospel message to kings, to governors, to all kinds of individuals. He says very, very strongly, "This is Christ Jesus. He came. We saw him. In fact, he came to me when I didn't deserve it. I was like, basically, the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called apostle. Why? Because I was out persecuting the church. I was out persecuting the church. Acts 8, very straightforward. We got plenty of time. Saul, verse 3, but Saul was ravaging the church, entering into house after house, dragging off the men and women, and committed them to where? Prison. He had this letter, he had this power given to him by the leaders to enter into people's homes and drag them out of there and put them into prison. And can you imagine the contempt that people felt towards him, the fear. Even when the servant was told to go see him, he even said, "Oh, I've heard about this guy. He's been persecuting people. He was consenting to the death of Stephen. There's a lot of rumors about this guy, Saul." But God had a purpose. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the question that I would love to ask, and I don't know the answer to, how many people were praying for Saul? How many people were praying that God would change Saul, that God would open his eyes? Pretty powerful, isn't it? Instead of asking God to remove people, instead of God asking him to get rid of people, whether it be in churches or wherever it may be, I know your mind always wants to go that I have a secret message. Stop thinking that way. Maybe you don't, praise God. wherever it may be, ask God to change and use those people. That they would come back to the truth. He says, I persecuted the church. But then he comes back to the heart of the matter. But by grace. Unmerited favor. And the grace of who? Is it because, you know, Peter was so graceful with him? Was it what James was? He brings it back to where grace comes from. He says, but by the grace of God. He says, I understand. I am what I am. I can only do what I do. And his grace towards me wasn't empty. It wasn't vain. Remember how I talked a few minutes ago about how Paul, when he was Saul, whatever, he had such a fire. He had such a fire. He believed he was doing the right thing when he was Saul. He believed it. And he went for it. He went for it with gusto. That's what he's saying. I am what I am. This is my nature. This is who I am. Very straightforward. I am what I am. He says, but his grace towards me wasn't empty. He used it. And he allowed it to change me. And in all honesty, I'm going to say this, to be a powerful force in the scripture. To bring many individuals from Corinth, Ephesus, wherever, to believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God took Paul, Saul, as he was, and gave him faith. But he didn't turn him into a zombie or a robot or one that wouldn't say anything or to become so timid that they wouldn't raise his voice. He took the same one that had that fire in his heart or in his belly, as we say it, and he gave him the words of life. And he allowed him to be a testimony all the way to Rome. That is powerful. He says, I am what I am. But the grace of God was not in vain. He says, on the contrary, he says, I ended up working harder than all of them. In other words, this is even who he is in a personality. He was on fire for the Lord. He's on fire for the Lord. He says, I worked harder than all of them, though it wasn't me. It's not me personally. He says, what it is the grace of God that was working through me. He says, whether it's me, whether it's them, he says, the consistency that we have to have, no matter what may be going on in this world, is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. There's a lot that say, as a Christian, you need to be silent. Doesn't seem to be that here at all. Think of the opportunities that God gave Paul. He had the opportunity to enter all the way to the highest places within the Roman government to preach the gospel. God has a purpose for all of us. He truly does. And God is going to be there for us, and he'll take care of us. Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through struggles. I mean, come on, Paul, when he was at Ephesus, they stoned him to death. They were quite content, dragged his carcass out of the city limits, and his apostles are standing around him, looking at him like, what the world? He's dead, and all of a sudden he gets up. He gets up. And what's he do? Heads back into the city to preach the word. That's only by the power of God. So as we open this message, what do you believe in? What are you listening to? I know that's been a theme that I've been trying to talk about in a long time, and it's not just for you, it's for me. What are we listening to? I'll tell you one thing right now, and I'm going to say this very plainly. If you're only getting your news from the media, you're only getting one side of the story. Trust me. Trust me. And I'll leave that up to you to investigate that. But you also will live in a lot of fear. Karl Barth used to say, whenever a person gets ready for a sermon, he should always have the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. And I haven't really been, I should say this with caution, I haven't been trained in that way. It was told to me by someone that trained me, but it seemed that we resisted that. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living today, and there's real issues today. Don't receive your information from just one area. Open your scripture. Listen to both sides and ask God to open your heart, your mind, and give you assurance. Because no matter what may be taking place, he's still on the throne. Preach the word. Give hope. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for individuals such as Saul, who by the power of your Holy Spirit was changed to Paul, an encourager, a preacher, and extremely powerful. The one who has the most writings even in this scripture. But yet, Father, even he would say, that is nothing in comparison to you. It is all by you. We pray that you would be with us in the upcoming week. We pray that you would be with our nation. We pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us and allow us, Father, to be balanced. Allow us, Father, to receive your word, to hear your word, and, Father, trust you above and beyond all circumstances. Allow us to love one another. Allow us to encourage family, friends, and neighbors. Because truly, Father, people are scared. And that's okay. We pray that this would be an opportunity for hearts to be open, minds to be open, and our love of God to be shown. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.